الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, today we will conclude the series of khutbat on Tawheed, which is part of the series of khutbat on the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son. And that conclusion is to talk about Tawheed, Asma'u Sifat Allah Ta'ala. We spoke about Tawheed al-Rububiyah, we spoke about Tawheed al-Uluhiyah or Tawheed al-Ibadah, and now we speak about Tawheed al-Asma' wa Sifat Allah Ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. The Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's Asma, meaning the plural of Ism, which is names, and Sifat, plural of Sifat, which is attributes and qualities, is to attribute to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala those names and those qualities and Sifat which He, Jalla Jalaluhu, attributed to Himself without any change in them in any way. So we say about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala only and only what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said about Himself. We do not, for example, say Allah said this, but this is what it means, because we do not know what it means. What we only know what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told us. And if somebody is saying that this is what it means, then that person must produce dalil, must produce proof. From where? From Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Means from the Kitab of Allah. To explain whatever statement that he or she is going to make with respect to this is what it means. If that proof is not there, then for someone to say Allah said this, but this is what it means, is to speak from the person's own desire, the person's own wish, which is to speak about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu without evidence, and to say about Allah that which he did not say about himself, which is what Ibn Taymiyyah and others called Ummul Khaba'ith. They said this is the worst of the sins, because this is the root of all other sins, that you speak about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala without knowledge, that you speak about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and you say something about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala without knowledge, and something which Allah did not say about himself. And this is the worst of the sins, and may Allah protect us from that. So affirming the there are two basic principles in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat Allah Ta'ala, which is affirmation and denial. Affirmation consists of affirming and confirming and reiterating and emphasizing and stating that which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala affirmed for himself in his book, or that his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed of his beautiful names and his sublime attributes in a manner that suits the majesty and greatness of Allah, without distorting them, without twisting their meanings, and without denying their reality or discussing how they are. So for example, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, Istawa ala al-arsh. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then He established Himself and He made Istawa on the arsh. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu's famous statement on this, he said, we know that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made Istiwa, but we do not know what is the nature of this Istiwa, and we do not ask what is the nature of the Istiwa, because that is from the Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. So somebody says Allah made Istiwa on the arsh, what does it mean? Explain Istiwa. We cannot explain Istiwa because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala did not explain Istiwa. So if somebody says Istiwa ala al-arsh means that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is in this state or condition on the arsh, then that person is speaking without knowledge, because that evidence is not in the kalam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not explain this to us in that way. And therefore, what do we say about matters like this? We say these are matters of al-ghaib, and we say only what Allah said, And we do not say anything other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, using our own understanding or logic and so on and so forth, because these are among the matters where the human understanding and logic cannot work and does not work. Understanding the term itself means under, meaning that you have encompassed that knowledge. And we know, what did Allah say about His knowledge? Allah said that no one can encompass the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything. So for a human being to say, I do not understand this particular thing about the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or about His sifat, is not something to be embarrassed about. It is a statement of fact. And this is the, in the words of Imam Malik, to say, I do not know, he said, this is the shield of the scholar. It protects you from the attack of shaitan. To pretend to know that which you do not know is to open yourself to the attack of shaitan. So affirmation, affirming what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for Himself in His kitab, in His book, or which His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed on His behalf about His names and about His attributes in a manner that suits His majesty and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without distorting any of them, without twisting their meanings, and without denying their reality, or discussing or explaining or trying to explain how they are in terms of our own understanding. Now, that is the reason why whenever we even give some kind of a mithal, some kind of an example to illustrate some principle relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. We say Allah is above all the mithal that can be given for Him. So we do not give a mithal of Allah. We don't say Allah is like this or like that, no. But for the purpose of explaining something, you might say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's relation, for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one place he saw this mother who had lost her little child, and then she found the child and she was breastfeeding this child. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped the Sahaba. He said, do you think that this woman will voluntarily throw this child into the fire? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, this is impossible. How can this woman who loves her child, it's her child, she's breastfeeding the child, how can she possibly throw the child into the fire? She loves the child so much. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creature 70 times more than this woman loves her child. So now this is not an example of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving an example to illustrate the rahmah and the mercy and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creature. So such kinds of things, alhamdulillah, this is permissible. But to try to give an example to, within quotes, illustrate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is or means is not from the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wa Jamaat. So affirmation. Second rule of Tawheed, which of Asma Sifat, is based on denial. And this is to deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any faults, to deny any shortcomings that Allah has denied for Himself. And the evidence of that is in the words of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing like Him. لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing in any of the ashya. And when we say ashya in this context, we mean ashya wal ahwal. We say ashya as in things, and ahwal as in conditions, states of emotion, feeling, so on. All of this we club under the term of ashya. So the shay does not have to be necessarily some material product. A thought is also the shay, a condition is also the shay, and so on and so forth. So laysa kamislihi shay'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing in creation which is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the ashya, meaning among those things which are created. And as we know, everything is created except for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. So all conditions, all emotions, all material things, all things which are not material, everything is among the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, laysa kamislihi shayun. Laysa kamislihi shayun, wa huwa samiul basir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears and the one who sees. And again, once again, we remind ourselves, the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it? It is in keeping with His majesty and grace. We cannot describe it. We cannot define it. All we know is it is not like our hearing. But even to say that is a gross understatement, because who are we to compare our hearing with the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term hearing for us to understand. But that does not mean anything, has no resemblance with what we understand by hearing. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned seeing. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ وَالْبَصِيرُ. So the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exactly the same, in keeping with His majesty and grace. I am making this point because this is a very important part of Tawheed, which many times unknowingly, because we don't have the knowledge, we don't seek the knowledge, may Allah forgive us, leads us into all kinds of areas. I was doing a lecture for some diplomats, and one of them asked me a question. He said, not having an organized clergy, not having a priesthood in Islam, is this a blessing or is this a problem? So I told him it's both. It's a blessing in the sense that it places the responsibility of learning the religion on every single Muslim. And it's not, the learning and understanding of the religion is not restricted to a designated body of people, which in a way legitimizes everyone else's ignorance. And also it does not open the door for that body of people then to distort the religion and to change the religion in different ways, as we have seen is the experience of other faith groups. So in that sense it's a blessing. But it's not a blessing in the sense that the fact remains that most Muslims, even though they, lip service, we acknowledge that we should all learn, but how many of us learn? How many of us learn? How many of us can even recite Suratul Fatiha, which is the rukun of the Salah, with proper tajweed? I'm always amazed, and I mentioned this many times before, I'm amazed at the different ways in which Iqamat is given. they think there are new ways get invented of Iqamat. Anytime you stand there and you ask one of the brothers to give the Iqamat, he has a new method of giving Iqamat. He's not doing ijtihad there. He does not know. And we are talking about people who pray regularly in the masjid. You pray regularly in a masjid, why is it that you cannot give the iqamat, which is really three or four words repeated several times? That's it. End of the day, it's a three or four words. So that shows our complete lack of interest and lack of attention to learning even the most basic thing about Islam. Imagine if you tell somebody, the only thing I know about Islam is the Iqamat. People will say, you're an absolutely ignorant person. The only thing you know about Islam is only Iqamat. So what do you say to somebody who does not even know the Iqamat? So somebody asked me, they were telling me, how bad the situation is. I said, no, alhamdulillah, I'm very happy, because only in that situation can someone call me an alim. So it's very good. Let the situation remain, alhamdulillah. Till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep it, then you can think, Ya Barbek, Bahrul Ulum, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Rajun. So denying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any faults and denying any shortcomings that He has denied to Himself, and there we said the evidence of that is Laysa Kamithlihi Shayun wa Huwa Samiul Basir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied that He bears any resemblance to His creation, and affirmed that He has attributes of perfection in a manner that befits Him. May He be glorified. My brothers and sisters, therefore, it is not permissible to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala names and attributes that He did not give to Himself. We are permitted to only call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the names that He used for Himself, or that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used for Him. Jalla jalalu. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifi, which means that they can only be known through divine revelation and through the hadith, and that there is no room for ijtihad in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the view of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to which we belong, alhamdulillah. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be called by anything except that by which he called himself, or that by which Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi said, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifi, and reason plays no role in knowing them. Based on that, we should limit our sources concerning them to what is narrated in the Quran and the Sunnah, and neither add nor subtract anything from that, because human reason cannot work out the names that He, Jalla Jalaluhu, deserves. So we must limit ourselves to the divine texts and the sound of hadith with regard to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, where Allah said, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِينُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْبِيلًا. Allah said, and do not follow, and do not bear witness, and do not say that of which you have no knowledge. Verily, the hearing and the sight and the heart of each of those ones will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a simple matter to just walk away from. This is a matter on which we will be questioned. We ask Allah to help us in this matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاهِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the things that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has indeed forbidden are al-fawahish. Al-fawahish are all kinds of great and evil sins and shameful actions, whether committed openly or secretly. Ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Whether they were committed openly or secretly, meaning there is no secret from Allah, meaning that when you were doing that, you were trying to hide the thing from the people, right? There is a beautiful nasheed which I remember sending out somewhere, where this person, when he recited, he recited his nasheed before Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and the very first line of this nasheed, the meaning of that, the very first line of the nasheed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, how is it that you hid things from people, but you committed them before me? And when the first line was recited, they say that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi cried and wept and wept and wept so much that people started fearing for his life. They thought he will have a heart attack and die. We'll ask Azhar or whoever to send you that nasheed also along with this khutbah, inshallah. Listen to that. Absolutely phenomenal, beautiful nasheed. Very beautifully sung also. May Allah reward the one who sang this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the things that my Rabb has indeed forbidden are al-fawahish, whether they were committed openly or secretly. And then the sins of all kinds. And then unrighteous oppression. Then joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which He has given no authority. And then saying things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of which you have no knowledge. Because calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by a name that He has not called Himself, or by denying a name that He called Himself by, is a transgression against His rights. And it's essential, therefore, to observe proper etiquette with regard to that and limit it to what is mentioned in the text. And this is from Majmu'a al-Fatawa Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Some of the Mufassirin have taken this ayah and they have said that the things that are enumerated in this ayah are in ascending order. So the least important is mentioned first, and the most important is mentioned last. So if you look at this this ayah, Allah saying, say that the thing that my Rabb has forbidden are al-fawahish. Now imagine, the fawahish are the worst of the sins, but the Mufassir are saying this is the least in this list. That doesn't mean the fawahish are bad, are small things. They're not small things, but in the list, this is the least one. And then oppression, and then more than that shirk, and then even more than shirk is to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something without knowledge. And that is why They said Ibn Taymiyyah and others, Rahmatullahi Majmain, they said that this, to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, they said this is the Ummul Qawais. This is the worst of the sins. Because everything originates from that. What is shirk? Shirk is to speak about Allah without knowledge. That is the meaning of shirk. Because you are saying something about Allah which is not true. And you are saying it because you are speaking other than what knowledge Allah gave us. So even shirk originates from speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. And that's why very important also caveat for people who do tafsir of the Quran and so on. This is one of the biggest problems that we fall into, because somebody asks you the meaning of an ayah and you say, I think this is what it means. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You think? Who are you? What is the meaning of you think? What is your understanding? If there was anyone who had the haqq to say, I think, it was the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because they took the kalam of Allah directly from the one on whom this kalam was revealed. They understood the meaning of the kalam directly from the one who was given the understanding by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. But what was the Sahaba's position about this? In Suratul Abasa, the ayah was revealed, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ. So a man went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he said, what is Abba? Fakiha, we understand fruits. What is Abba? Habba is a new shoot, a young shoot, which is growing out of a seed. But they said, what is Abba? What is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's response to that? Did he say, you know, I think this is what it means? No. He said, which sky will shade me? And which earth will hide me if I say about the Kitab of Allah that which I do not know? And this is from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, about whom I mentioned in the Eid khutbah, the narration where it is said that his iman is heavier on the scale than the iman of all of humankind that came after him. Every Muslim, whoever. And his explanation about one word, I mean, this is not even the whole ayah. The man is asking only about the meaning of one single word. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I will not speak without knowledge. We know Allah mentioned Abba. What is the meaning of Abba? Allah knows. Khalas. We do not say what it is. So we do not say, I think this and I think that. So very important for us to understand this. Do not speak about the Kitab of Allah. Do not speak about the Asma wa Sifatillahi Ta'ala. Do not speak about the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except to say what is in the Book of Allah. And except to say what is in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not use your own thinking in that. It has absolutely no place. And that is a good way of getting into some serious problems. So very important to beware of anyone saying that you can call Allah by any name of your choice. There are people who make these completely, totally ignorant statements. Please stay far away from people like this. To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be called by any name of your choice is a statement of complete ignorance. And it's a statement which goes completely against the usul of deen. Anyone calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by names that Allah did not use for himself has committed a haram action. Now, having said that, when we are speaking, and if you are speaking, for example, in English, and instead of saying Allah, if you say God, that does not come under the definition of this. So you can say that. It is obviously preferable to say Allah. And I've always mentioned this. I've always said, use the actual Arabic term because it opens the door for da'wah. So don't translate Rab into Lord. Don't say your Lord. Say your Rab. Because then the other person will ask you, what is Rab? And you can explain what is Rab. So it's opening a door for da'wah. Now, unfortunately, we want to preempt that and we say, well, say Lord. When you say Lord, the biggest problem is that the person listening to you He understands Lord in his own way. So the moment you say Lord, he is fine, he has no question. So according to him, you are talking about Lord Allah and I am talking about Lord Ganesha. And if you think I am exaggerating, I'll tell you an incident which happened with me, which I narrated before. I was sitting in Masjid An-Nabawi Sharif once, and I sent a message to a few friends of mine saying, I am in the Haram in Medina and I am making dua for you. Now accidentally that message went to another Hindu friend of mine in Jaipur. So he immediately, and the amazing thing is I sent it to a lot of Muslim friends, not one single one responded. The only one who responded was the Hindu friend. And he said, I am most grateful to you for making dua for me. Please make some offering on my behalf to Lord Allah. Right? Now you are laughing, but the point is that here is a very sincere person. He says, please make some offering on my behalf to Lord Allah. Because he understands Lord. Lord is what? Lord is what? I mean, when he goes to a temple, he takes something to give to God. So I told him that in our religion, we go to take, we don't come to give, we don't go to give. I said, Allah calls to give, Allah does not call to take. So we do not need to make an offering to Allah. But this is the problem of using just mindless translations of the Arabic into English or into any other language. So for example, to say Khuda instead of Allah is fine, absolutely no problem, because that is what it means in Urdu when you are speaking. There is no need to get, the Arabization is not necessary in Islam. There is no need to get into a spin about that. But to use another name, for example, somebody might say, while speaking to a Hindu friend, he might say, we say Khaliq, like you say Brahma, Lord of creation. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. That is completely false. Never make a statement like that. For the simple reason that Brahma is a specific identity with a form, with a shape, with a name, with the mythological history and so on and so forth. So how can you say Al-Khaliq is equal to Brahma? Is not. Just the word Khaliq is a word in the dictionary. It means somebody who creates. Al-Khaliq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu, when you particularize that word, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So use the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, names that Allah gave. Don't confuse them with others. But at the same time, as I said, normal usage, if there is some word which really means that, for example, in Urdu, Khuda only means Allah. Khuda does not mean anything else. People go back into ancient Persian etymology and they say Khuda used to mean, that's like 2000 years ago, nobody remembers that. Today when you say Khuda, it means Allah. So that if somebody says Khuda Hafiz instead of Allah Hafiz, there's absolutely no problem with saying Khuda Hafiz. So no need to needlessly Arabize stuff. But at the same time, do understand, don't fall into the trap of making statements like you can call Allah by any name of your choice. We cannot. So finally, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to worship Him and to glorify Him as is His right. We know we cannot do that, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do our best and then to magnify it in a way by His own khudrat, which suits His majesty and grace. So I want to finally recite for you some of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about His glory and majesty, for us to reflect upon it and for us to take lessons from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm always shy to recite before some of my shuyukh who are sitting here, may Allah bless them. So any faults in recitation are mine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Naml, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الله خير أما يشركون أمن خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل لكم من السماء ماء فأنبتنا به حدائق ذات بهجة ما كان لكم أن تنبتوا شجرها أإله مع الله بل هم قوم يعدلون أمن جعل الأرض قرارا وجعل خلالها أنهارا وجعل لها رواسيا وجعل بين البحرين حاجزا أإله مع الله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض إله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون أمن يهديكم في ظلمات البر والبحر ومن يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته أإله مع الله تعالى الله عما يشركون أمن يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ومن يرزقكم من السماء والأرض إله مع الله قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and salama be on his slaves whom he has chosen for his message. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, or all that you ascribe as partners to him? And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. And then Allah said, is not he, Jalla Jalaluhu, better than your gods? Who created the heavens and the earth and sends down for you rain from the sky whereby we, meaning Jalla Jalaluhu, cause to grow wonderful gardens full of beauty and delight. It is not in your ability to cause the growth of their trees. Is there any ilah, anyone worthy of worship along with Allah? No, but they are a people who ascribe equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from being that. Is he not better than your gods who has made the earth as a fixed abode and has placed rivers in its midst and has placed firm mountains therein and has set a barrier between two seas of salt and sweet water? Is there any ilah, anyone worthy of worship along with Allah? No, but most of them do not know. Is he not better than your gods, who responds to the distressed one when he calls on him, and who removes the evil and makes you inheritors of the earth, generations after generations? Is there any ilah, anyone worthy of worship, except and along with Allah? Little is that you remember. Is not he better than your gods, the one who guides you in the darkness of the land and the sea, and who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings, going before his mercy in terms of rain? Is he there and is there any ilah? Is there anyone worthy of worship along with Allah? La ilaha illahu. High exalted be Allah. Ta'ala Allahu amma yushrikun. Exalted is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all that they associate as partners to him. And the last ayah, is he not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, better than your gods, the one who originates heaven, the originates the creation, and shall thereafter repeat it, and the one who provides and who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? Is there any ilah, anyone worthy of being worshipped except Allah? La ilaha illallah. And say, bring forth your proof if you are thankful. I want to close with the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which I mentioned before, and it's a beautiful story. It says that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was passing by, a man was making dua. And this man made dua and he said, O Allah, make me among the Khalil, make me among the few. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a man of great principle. So Sayyidina Umar asked him, what is this dua? Who taught you to make this dua? What do you mean by make me among the few? And the man said, I asked this dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Khalilam ma tashkurun. He said, few are the ones who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, Sulatu min al-awwaleen wa khalilu min al-akhirin. In Surah Al-Baqiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Among the people of Jannah, many are from the people of the first generation and very few from the people of later generations. So I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me among the few. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wept. He wept. And he said, he berated himself. And he said, woe to Umar. Everyone knows more religion than Umar radiallahu anhu. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the few. The reason I remember that is because in this set of ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the opposite. Allah has mentioned the many. Now when we talk about leadership, when we talk about so-called difficulty in following Islam, many of us get intimidated by the fact that you will look odd, that you will be the only one, or you will be one of the very few who are following Islam. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave bashara for the few, not for the many. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the many? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the many. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also the few. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned qalilan ma tadhakkarun, means few are those who remember, which means the many are those who do not remember. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, few are those who take heed. Means many are those who do not take heed. Few are those who know, which means many are those who, aktharhum la ya'lamun. Many of them do not know. In the Quran says, do a search for aktharhum. And you will find all the akthar, all the many, are all associated with negative qualities. They do not remember, they are ungrateful, they do not know, they speak without knowledge, and so on and so on and so on. And the few are associated with positive qualities. People who understand, people who have taqwa, people who are among the shakirin, people who have shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make us among the few. The people who will be recognized because of what we do, only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas in our niyat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas in our amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in ways that we cannot even imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that which you ask, and then give you that which you could not ask because of your lack of knowledge or because of your lack of understanding, from His own generosity and grace which He knows is good for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make every instance of life for you on this earth an instant of obedience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from this earth in an instant of obedience to Him and on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open your hearts to the noor of the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your hearts with hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with hope for His, and love for Him, and love for His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify your hearts from all masiv Allah, and put His own noor and muhabbat in your hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you dependent only and only on Him jalla jalaluhu in this dunya wal akhirah, and remove your dependence from everything other than Allah. Your dependence on masiv Allah in this dunya wal akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make us among those who will be called to meet Him on the day of judgment in the valley where they will be gathered. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu will say, today is the day of more, the day of giving more. So ask me. And the people who are gathered there, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include among us among those who will be gathered there, along with all your mutaliqeen, inshaAllah. They will say, Ya Allah, what can we ask? You have given us everything. You have forgiven us all our sins. And you have given us this Jannah. And you have called us to this meeting with you. Oh Allah, what can be more than this? What can we ask? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, this I have already given you. So ask for more. Ajeeb the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ask for more because only he knows his treasures. We've just completed Hajj, and our brothers and sisters who were in Arafah, I remember my condition when I was there, and I'm sure they will agree with me, that Allah gave the whole day of Arafah only for one purpose, which is to ask dua. The purpose of Arafah is what? To stand and make dua. But how many of us can make dua for anything more than 15, 20 minutes? Half an hour? I mean, I remember when I went, I started, I asked and asked and asked and asked. Alhamdulillah, I asked everything. I look at the time, it's 15 minutes. I said, Wallahi Kareem, now I've got another 7 hours, 45 minutes. Wallahi, you know, how many hours? 8 hours or more. We are helpless. We don't even know how much to ask. We can't even ask. We are so small. So Allah says, ask me more. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire the people to ask, and they will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, we want to see you. Show us your wajh al kareem. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order for the curtain between him and his slaves to be lifted. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if it was not for the mercy of Allah, all the slaves would have, in an instant, they would have been vaporized, completely burnt with the power of the nur of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. And then the slaves will gaze on the glory and majesty and nur of Allah wajhika al-kareem, the glorious countenance of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will forget Jannah. They will forget everything that they had. And they will know only one thing, which is the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Whenever I narrate a hadith like this, I always make the dua, and I ask you to make this dua. And the dua I make is, Ya Rab, it is only by your tawfiq and by your qudrat and by your power that you caused me to say these things. I did not have the knowledge of these things. I did not have the power of these things. Even if I had the knowledge, I would have forgotten to say these things. But you enabled me to say these things. And you are Rabbul Alameen. It is your sifat of rububiyat that you complete everything, that you do not leave something halfway. To speak about these things is only halfway. To actually experience this thing will be the completion of this. And you, it is the shan of your rububiyat to complete what I have said, because what I have said has been said only and only by your izn and by your khudra and by your rahmah. So make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should complete this hadith by making us witness to this on the day of judgment, when we remember that we had heard this one day. And alhamdulillah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and what his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us is the truth. And today we are witnessing the truth when we see the glory and majesty of the glorious countenance and face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.